This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. I have on the line with me today our Lake County Emergency Manager, BJ Kolstad. It's Tuesday, March 10th, when we're recording our conversation, and I wanted BJ to visit with you about our local planning contingencies and service to residents as the coronavirus has been making its way across the U.S. We're slower to be in its sights, slower than some of the other countries that we are hearing about on our national news media. And we may or may not be in a short-term bubble. As of now, we have no identified cases of COVID-19 in Lake County or in general in our part of the state. Is that true to the best of your knowledge, BJ?
That is true, Leo. I believe the best place to get updates on that information for cases in the United States and especially in Minnesota is on the Minnesota Department of Health website. So we always refer people to there because if you ask me questions about the current status of COVID-19 in the U.S. or in Minnesota, it'll always be old data since it changes hour by hour.
Okay, and so that would be at www.health.state.mn.us?
That's right.
Okay, you have your go-to sites as well. Told me yesterday that you were engaging in a task force meeting. Who exactly have become the partners in your efforts, BJ, locally?
Well, Lake County has a public health emergency operations plan, which we put into effect last time in 2009 for the H1N1 flu, if you remember that one. And part of that plan, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and I do hardly remember that. I don't remember this level of awareness or, you know, general feeling of anxiety in the public, and it just tells you that these things are cyclical.
Yeah, I think you're right, and we always hope that whenever there's a pandemic, we put this plan into action, and we always hope for the best, but we plan for the worst. That's part of our job. So the fact that some people don't remember the H1N1 outbreak of 2009 is probably a good thing. It means that because of the plans that were put in place and the mitigations and maybe some good luck and the strength of the virus, we didn't have a very memorable H1N1 response here. And I don't know if that doesn't answer your question, Leo, about
It was largely about the different parties, the agencies and our school systems, the health providers. I'm curious as to who comes into play and who you contact at this stage in preparation versus if we do have to go into a full swing response.
Right. According to the Public Health Emergency Operations Plan, whenever there is an incident like this, like a pandemic flu incident, we start by having an initial meeting with a public health response team, which includes our local health partners as well as regional and state. So we had that team meeting on Monday, yesterday, and the people that were there included our public health folks as well as myself, emergency management. Then we also included local partners like schools, hospitals, clinics, long-term care facilities, and regional partners like the Arrowhead EMS Association, our Northeast Healthcare Preparedness Coalition, and we included partners from Minnesota Department of Health who were on the phone, including our healthcare consultant and the regional epidemiologist for Minnesota Department of Health.
That's a fair number of players already, and thinking about Lake County being a smaller rural county and there being 87 counties in Minnesota, there's a lot of contingency planning and a lot of this kind of collaboration going on. What happens when people are reporting symptoms that are analogous to what they hear the COVID-19 virus would bring them, are we able to get people tested, or are we responding as if it's a presumption of their, when somebody's reporting symptoms, we should just begin a protocol of treating them as if they had the illness?
That's a long question, Leo.
Well,
let me start at the beginning.
Well, how will we find out that we have our first case in Lake County if and when it comes, unless we have an actual confirmed test result?
Sure. As you know, there's already been currently two cases in Minnesota, and the same thing would happen in Lake County as is happening in Minnesota right now. In this state, Minnesota Department of Health takes the lead in monitoring, managing these cases and by testing people. Your question about testing is, are there enough test kits available and can people be tested locally in Lake County? And the answer is yes. The MDH has its own lab ready to go, and tests are available for all those who are showing symptoms, regardless of what risk group they're in. Anyone who wants to be tested and is showing symptoms can contact their healthcare provider to get that done. once someone has been confirmed with the COVID-19 disease, then the Minnesota Department of Health will interview those people and encourage them to isolate themselves normally at their home. Then they will track other people who've been in contact with them and recommend to those people that they stay in voluntary quarantine at home for 2 weeks. The role of the Lake County Public Health Department is then to provide any essential services to those people who are in isolation or quarantine. And that includes if they, you know, we don't want them to go to the grocery store, so we would bring them food, medications, provide transportation, et cetera, for those people. But the Minnesota Department of Health we're in contact with them daily, and they're the ones that are giving us guidance. Your question about what would happen when if it did become more widespread of an outbreak, it would also be the Minnesota Department of Health that would make recommendations for what they call community mitigation interventions, which is things like where they would propose postponing community gatherings, encouraging virtual gatherings for work, working remotely, having church services, et cetera, virtually, and even closing schools. But none of that has happened yet in Minnesota. We're not to that point at all.
Certainly we're not. And you did answer my primary question, though, about it is a chicken and egg question. I wasn't sure that we did have the testing capacity to know and that we might have to summon testing kits from elsewhere, because I've heard that that's been a concern, that do we have the testing capacity across the United States? But what you're saying is locally we are in good shape.
In Minnesota, we're in good shape. And I think some people are concerned because you hear that there's not enough test kits for everyone. But the point is, we're not testing everyone. We're only testing people who have symptoms.
Fair enough. Good point. Now, should we talk a bit about some of the points that were made in your media release about the coronavirus in Lake County that was issued today? You have some recommendations for people to take practical measures to minimize their risk of contracting the illness.
Right.
Would you like to kind of summarize some of the high points of that?
Yeah. And again, these are all available, and we got them directly from the Minnesota Department of Health website, and as well as the CDC, the Center for Disease Control website, the national one. But basically, they're all the same. We've known our whole lives that we're supposed to wash our hands often and well, and we don't all do it. But this is a time to start practicing that hygiene of washing your hands well and keeping our hands away from our eyes, nose, and mouth, because those are places where the germs or the virus could enter into our bodies. We're encouraging people, as we have for a long time, to cough into your elbows so that you're not putting the droplets on your hands, and staying a few feet away from sick people, and of course, staying home from work when you're sick. I think that people also want to know, well, what are the symptoms, which would maybe encourage me to contact a medical provider, and those are fever, cough, dry cough usually, and shortness of breath. And so we want to encourage people, if you have those symptoms, and we don't know how many, what the percentages of people who will get COVID-19 are going to have mild versus moderate or severe symptoms. So we don't have a percentage, but we know that many people do not have severe symptoms for this disease, and they can recover at home just like they would with some other form of flu. But if you have some of those symptoms where you have shortness of breath, then you want to contact your medical provider. You do not want to just go into the clinic or hospital without giving them a call or a chat online to let them know your concerns.
Do you have any particular recommendations about how those of us who are dealing with people who might be in the most vulnerable populations, elderly, people with compromised immune systems, do we just have to be extra vigilant, or Lake County Public Health can't kind of take over that role necessarily for all of the people who are taking care of individuals in those circumstances?
Right. No, we can't. And if you're taking care of someone or living with someone who's in a high-risk group, which is elderly or people with underlying conditions, respiratory or cardiac conditions, for example, well, you're right. We just encourage you to be more vigilant with hand washing and staying separate from those people. This disease, the viruses are spread by droplets and aerosols from your nose and mouth when you sneeze or cough. So that's why we encourage people to cough into their elbows, because if you cover your cough with your hand, as we've done for much of our lives, and then you touch something else, it could be spread that way, but that's not the most common way that it's spread, because according to the Minnesota Department of Health epidemiologists, these viruses can only last a few hours on a surface. So if you touch something at work and then go home and people come to work the next day, they're likely not going to catch that disease from touching your keyboard or your telephone or something, your countertop.
Yeah, that's been a matter of some office talk, actually, right where I am, as to the extent of the risk from surfaces people talk about. For instance, doorknobs. Everyone has to enter the same workplace, opening and closing the door. Should we be running out and sterilizing that every 10 minutes?
Well, I know that I've talked to the facilities manager at Lake County, and they disinfect or clean these items, like you said, doorknobs and surfaces, every night. But yes, they are being careful to be more vigilant at that and make sure that things are disinfected.
Yeah. For instance, we're at a radio station where people sit in front of a microphone that has a screen to protect the microphone from damage. But in fact, we have to clean that screen rather frequently because we keep changing personnel that are behind it.
So, and that makes good sense.
So each vocation has different circumstances like that that you want to pay attention to. Where is the most likely place of, because you said these are not going to reside on these surfaces forever. But if there's a lot of personnel using it, good place.
I know that people have heard some different things about not only how long these viruses last, but for all kinds of information. You know, if we're getting news from social media, which might not always be the most accurate source. So that's why we encourage people to go back.
You do say that.
I have said
what
that,
a surprise.
Yes. So I do. We always encourage people to go back to those three sites we talked about, the Minnesota Department of Health website, the CDC website, and also the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, if you're interested in how the outbreak is happening around the globe.
Indeed.
But it's nice to know that the good news is that we are our own best protection against becoming sick with COVID-19. As you said, just maintaining good hygiene is probably our best defense.
Right. And yet, because we're trying to look ahead to what-if scenarios, we talk about people that may have to go into some self-isolating situations where they're primarily at home for a couple of weeks. This would lead people to think, well, I need to be prepared. So do you have any concerns that people should both be ready to do some kind of social, you know, isolation at home and have the supplies to do so? Any concern that we'd over-prepare and we'd make runs on stores and local supplies of things? Is there a balance there? How would you?
There is a balance, Leo. Being an emergency manager, we encourage people all the time to have what we call stay-at-home kits for cases where you might have to be at home if the power is out or if there's a blizzard and you can't get, you know, out of the home to get supplies. And we always talk about 3 days. But this disease, if you decide to stay at home and try to quarantine yourself, you do want to be prepared for a couple of weeks. So that doesn't require a lot of changes except making sure that you have a couple weeks of food in your home and water, medications, cleaning supplies. But we don't want also to, not everyone at this point has to run out and clean the stores out of hand sanitizer and Kleenexes, which, you know, happens every time, even when there's a blizzard coming. I know that some people make a run on stores, or when the power's out, they make a run on the water. So we just want to use some common sense there. Sometimes people ask about masks, surgical masks or N95 masks. And that's another case where right now the Minnesota Department of Health is not recommending masks for everyone. They're saving them and recommending them mostly for healthcare professionals who are, you know, working with people who might have COVID-19 exposure. And surgical masks, the same thing, since these droplets are, you know, only within...
You're alluding to the fact that they're small particle size and the masks have a size of particles that they let through.
Yeah, I think the point is that the virus is transmitted by droplets or aerosols from coughs or sneezes, and so if there is someone who is coughing or sneezing, they're probably the person that should wear a surgical mask just to catch those droplets from going out to other people.
Right.
But I don't think that in this case we want to go on about masks and all the questions that people have about that. The point that we're trying to make is the Minnesota Department of Health does not recommend masks for anyone at this time who isn't a healthcare provider working with people who might have been exposed to COVID.
Right, and we need to make sure there's the availability of those high-spec masks for the people that most need them, the medical workers. Protective gear, is there any value in wearing gloves, or is that problematic as well, mostly
for professionals? I think that healthcare providers would be wearing gloves when they're working with people, as we always do with patients, trying to protect them from our hands and trying to protect ourselves from them. But gloves aren't recommended for the general population at all, because of course if you cough on your glove, it's just like coughing on your hand. You'd have to throw away the gloves every few minutes, it seems. So
indeed,
I don't think that's a required or recommended prevention technique.
So it's very possible that there won't be such a penetration of the illness into our area as to warrant looking at the scenario, but it is possible that at some point we might want to be reducing the occasions in which we're all together in large numbers, whether it's at people who go to school every day or close proximity, the hundreds of people at a time. That's a tricky one because, you know, that's an important function of our society.
Sure.
Versus more, you know, voluntary after school activities and civic meetings.
Sure. Unfortunately, right now in Minnesota, and especially here in Lake County, where we haven't had a case yet, the closure of schools is not, I mean, we always make plans for that in any kind of emergency, but right now there's no recommendation for that either. It's fortunate that so far the information from this disease, which we have, and again, I'm not a public health professional,
yeah.
and it's changing all the time, the data that we have, but so far this particular virus does not seem to be greatly affecting children. The people who are of most concern right now are people who are elderly and have underlying chronic or medical conditions.
But, of course, people can be carriers who aren't as affected. I'm curious, you're not suggesting that they contract it at a lower rate. Do we have that kind of epidemiological information?
Well, again, I'm not an expert in that, but
right.
What I've heard from the 3 months of data that we have on this COVID is if you look at the rates of contraction and morbidity and mortality for different age groups, it is skewed strongly toward elderly people and
yes.
is skewed strongly away from children.
In the spirit of protecting everybody in every cross-sectional demographic of the society, we just appreciate that you are putting out this information. I'd probably look to be posting your media release on our website if you think that's a good idea,
That's helpful.
BJ.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
go
we
to
appreciate
KTWH.
That. We want to get...
Yeah, ktwh.org. Well, hopefully I can get that up by tomorrow. Are there any other thoughts you'd like to leave, things to look out for and pay attention to, just anything to leave folks listening today with? BJ.
I think the thing that people are asking me and us in Lake County about our plans and our feelings about this, and we just want to let people know that we've been through these outbreaks before. We have a plan for it. We've used them before, 10 years ago in the H1N1 global pandemic. They worked well then, and we expect they'll work well again. So we just want people to realize that they are their own best protection against getting sick, and we encourage them to use good hygiene and to contact their local providers if they have any symptoms or concerns.
For general information about anything pertinent to Lake County, is the county website going to be carrying additional media releases or public informationals?
Yeah.
Or would you, yeah, if that's what you'd recommend, let us know where to go.
Yeah, we do have a button on the front page of our website right now that says COVID-19 updates. And there's not too much up there because we, again, encourage people to go to the Minnesota Department of Health website, which has the most current information. But we are putting any Lake County updates on there. Right now, there's just the first media release that our initial response team put out today. And we'll keep people posted there. And if there's any emergent or urgent messages that we need to get out, then we do, of course, have the Lake County Emergency Alert Program, which is our mass notification system. We don't expect to be using that for in this situation. So probably our local website and the Minnesota Department of Health website are the places to check.
Well, thank you, BJ Kolstad with Lake County Emergency Management, our emergency manager. Thanks, BJ. And you've been in this position for some time. You weren't on board for the H1N1 outbreak, or were you?
I was. I've been here for 12 years, and so those plans worked very well. We've taken lessons from that locally and statewide, and the CDC also has put out reports on what we've learned from that pandemic, and we've gone through them even before that, you know, the MERS thing and the
yes.
SARS thing that have happened before. So I think every one of these new cases is, of course, novel and different, because that's what makes them a pandemic. We have a lot of experience that we can go on, and we think that it's going to work well.
I appreciate that depth of experience that you're bringing to this particular current situation. And if we have major changes in status, we'd like to be able to get back with you, BJ, and we thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Leo. I appreciate you helping out with this.
All right.
And people know about it.
Thank you, and you take care.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. That was BJ Kolstad, who is our Lake County Emergency Manager, and BJ and a task force is working hard each day to prepare and plan for contingencies as the COVID-19, the coronavirus, is not here in Lake County yet, fortunately, and they want to be fully prepared and have you have the tools, the information you need to do well if and when the virus starts to spread in our general area. And we will try to keep you posted as well right here on KTWH.